I should pull that garbage can in, but instead I'm just going to leave it out. Going to the gas station. Don't need gas, but we're going to the gas station. Ugh. I don't have any cash on me. I hate using not cash for, like, small purchases. Especially this place, this gas station, for whatever reason, makes you sign for stuff. Who makes you sign for credit card purchases anymore, really? I think it rained last night. The streets are wet. Good. It's needed pretty bad. I have not watered my lawn all summer, so it's not looking great. Oh, this person here's got a fantastic lawn. Thanks for doing your part, asshole. There you go. That's a nice dead looking lawn. Pretty excited about this gas station station trip. So excited I can't even speak right. That's how excited I am. look at this traffic on the freeway. That's no good. Alright, well, maybe by the time I get in and out of the gas station, all the traffic will be gone. I'm just gonna go through this light. It was yellow for most of that time. Drinks. You guys stay here. There are like four different ads on the front of this Chevron station for digital cigarettes. One of them literally says, digital cigarettes. That must be the brand name or something. Because the rest all say like, electronic cigarette, which is probably a little more accurate, I guess. I'm smoking a computer? Finally.
Well, now that I ate that power bar, I'm ready for the day, I guess. As long as the day involves a gigantic nap. Cars are not, we're not going full speed, but it's not like that slow. It's weird. It's weird, man. It's freaky out here. These streets. Better see what's on the radio.
I don't smoke to calm my nerves, but I got beef. Finna crush my enemies like I crushed the ass. She's if you love me, tell me you love me. And I'm stabbing, man. I hate to be in the pins, clapping one of my fans. Now let me show you how to treat me when you meet me, when you see me. If you're real, my nigga, you know how to holler G, you man. There's no competition, it's just me. 50 Cent, motherfucker, I'm hot on these streets. If David could go against Goliath with a stone, I could go in yards and jigger. Go for the throne. I'm gonna be gone, baby, all out of me. Take a ray out of the day, I don't need shit. Nigga, I'm high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I stay high all the time. I'm on some bullshit. Give me some gold, purple haze, and some chocolate. Give me a Dutch and a lighter, I spout shit. And stay high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I'm high all the time. I'm on some bullshit. Now who's you know besides me? Right lines and squeeze lines. I have hoes in the hood sniffing on white lines. You want me to be your kid's role model? I teach him how to bump and read. He's loaded the models. Have shorty fresh up the stoop, ready to shoot. Big blood in his mouth, deuce in his boot. Sit in the crib, sipping Guinness, watching minutes. Then, oh lord, have a young nigga bucking shit like he Ogre. My team, they depend on me when it's crunch time. I eat a nigga food and raw day like it's lunchtime. You feeling brave, nigga? Go ahead, get gully. See if I'm gonna leave your brain thinking about your scully. I done made myself hot, so ain't shit you can tell me. Now niggas calling me the feature, man. Fuck your money. I ain't hurting, I'm alright, nigga, I'm doing good. I ain't got the right rhymes, I got bricks in the hood.
Yeah, he's got bricks in the hood. I've got bricks in the hood too, man. We should hang out.
This shit was all I knew.
I'm not a joker or a laugh. Sure can't roll. I roll the mic, smoke and lay it to rest. Informed in my palm. I touch it and it's blessed. Got style. I know the routine. All punk popping up. Can't join my team. I got an attitude. I don't ramble. 20 to 1, I'm up to par. Don't gamble. I'll take you to the boat. You think this is dope? The last step.
All right. Jordan, like I never really thought about Michael Jordan as a big man. You know, he was a guard, right? He's kind of. How tall is Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan is 6 feet 6 inches tall.
Alright, 6'6". That's pretty fucking tall. It's not David Robinson tall.
Lecter. Show off, show off.
Can we get busy? That's the next time.
Show off, Rachel.
Every Thursday night.
It's taller than me.
At midnight Eastern time. For myself, Static Selector, my girl Valerie Laura, and Sammy Beatles.
All
right. We dropping the raw shit from the north, south, east, and west with the illest guests.
K-45.
Well, you're going to hear the hottest new hip-hop first. The livest in-studio performances.
Yeah.
And shit, we even pull out those records you ain't heard in a minute.
Yeah.
Every Thursday night, 8 to midnight Eastern time.
Don't know, now you know.
Shade
45. The phone lines are open. 707-925-2662. Give me a call. Ask me some questions. Say what up. Now we'll go for 20 minutes or so before I get to the bridge here. If anyone's got something they want to say. Dropping off people when they're not ready, no one's gonna call. That's my expectation. You guys already know what you want to know. You are on the air? Who is this? Hello. Hi. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Dave. This is Tim from Australia.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think will hit Tom first? Sega talking about the US version of PS2 or Sony talking about The Last Guardian?
Sony talking about Last Guardian.
Can I pop this up?
Yeah.
Really? Depending. I don't know if I heard that game now. They kept it on. It gets down so long that I just kind of wish it doesn't come out because it's going to be not what we're looking for.
Yeah, I don't think either of those projects are like great ideas at this point. I mean, you know, but it's hard to know because Last Guardian, presumably they've been re-engineering the entire thing for PS4 and. You know, I think they would have just out and out killed it if they didn't at least still believe in it. Whereas, like, PSO2 in the U.S., like, the work has been done. Like, they've got an English version of that game. And it's just a matter of, it, you know, I think for Sega in the U.S., like, that's a math problem, right? It's like, okay, what's it cost to run these English servers? What's it cost to run the infrastructure to take the payments? And what does it cost to employ, like, a support team, a localization team, and, you know, basically someone to keep the English version of the game in sync with the Japanese version of the game, you know, on, like, a go-forward basis? Hmm?
In the cost setup, do you think they thought about, like, doing English voices? Is that part of the cost, do you think?
I mean, they could have. I mean, there's not a ton of voice in PSO2, is there? I'm trying to remember. I mean,
the story missions there are.
Yeah.
No one ever really played them.
Yeah.
You know what we're doing.
Right, yeah, well, yeah. I think they would. I think they could get away with leaving that stuff in Japanese and just subtitling it. You know, it doesn't need to. That stuff doesn't necessarily need to be in English. I think the people that want that game would not. That wouldn't be a breaking point for them. But at the same time, like, you know, if you look at, like, other options for free to play games, you know, in this country, like the stuff that's popular, like I just don't think PSO2 is. Like, it's a better game than Firefall, which is a pretty low bar, you know? It's some people probably wouldn't agree with me that that's the case. It's not the sort of game that I think would get a ton of people playing it, so I just don't know that the math makes sense. I talked to someone at Sega, God, I guess it was a little bit before E3, about it, and it sounded like that they were still talking about it, but it was a lot of like, well, you know, we're looking at spreadsheets, we're trying to figure out, like, at what point is this something that, you know, I'm pretty sure that that's where they're at with it, or that's where they were at with it, was like, is this thing even, does it have a chance of making any real money? If not, it's not even worth doing, because they don't have the money to fuck around and just do stuff for the hell of it, so... yeah, and whereas, like, Last Guardian, I mean, it exists. It's, you know, if you ask Sony about it, they will say, you know, I think there was a quote from Yoshida recently where he was just like, oh, you know, it's just not ready yet. You know, they're not out there dodging the questions. They're at least, like, saying, hey, we're working on it.
I'm convinced the game will come out. I'm just not convinced it'll be any good anymore.
Or maybe at this point, you know, they've just taken the core concept of it, like, you know, because people are excited for the name, and you know, not a ton, you know, not a mainstream number of people, but it's enough to where if they ship that product, it will have some awareness. So even if they've rebuilt it from the ground up to be kind of something else from what it originally was, and try to make it a little more modern, you know, I still think we'll eventually see a game box that says The Last Guardian on it.
Yeah. That's the question I could think of.
Cool.
I've got another question for you, probably can't answer it. You were meant to come to Australia last year for PAX, obviously you couldn't.
Yeah.
What do you think the chances are you got to come out to the PAX in Australia in November?
I don't think it's going to happen. It's, you know, it's like the end of October, early November, and it's a really bad time for shipping games. Like, you know, there's a ton of games coming out around then. We've got some stuff planned in terms of, like, stuff we want to do around that time frame already, and it's super expensive. Like the flights are pricey, so it's something I really wish I could do, but it's probably not going to be this year if I had to guess.
When they changed the date to early November, they picked probably one of the two worst weekends to have it in Melbourne. It's like one of the busiest weekends for visitors.
Oh,
it's
really?
A long weekend, but it's massive horse race in Australia that time of year, and hotel prices go up and all that kind of stuff. They pick, like, the worst time. It's
annoying. That's too bad. It's also, like, it seems like it's a bad time for the video game business in some ways, because all of their resources are going into shipping games and, like, promoting games that are coming out. You know, like, when you think about these shows and what video game companies, what big publishers tend to get out of them, it's, you know, like, showing a game before it's out, you know, and come November, I mean, you know, it'll be different for the Australian market, I'm sure, but, like, in terms of just, like, overall perception, they'll be showing games that will be out in 2 weeks or came out 2 weeks ago and stuff like that. So I just, that's a really weird time to have that show, but, you know, they have so many other shows at different times of the year. At some point, they don't really have a choice, I guess.
Well, it's weird about that with early dates. It's, you seem really bad being a PAL territory with early dates. Things are basically almost day and date with the US now. So
yeah.
It is a strange time of year.
Yeah, we're pretty close. But yeah, it's definitely a weird time of year. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. See you around. Australia. I would love to go to Australia. Just me and DMX. Just go to Australia, go to PAX, perform Wear the Hood At, radio version, radio edit, whereas I get to, and I want to do all the, and then we leave. All right, here we go. Hey, what's up? Who is this, and where are you calling from?
What up, what up? This is Chris from Boston area. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How's it going?
Good, good. It's a slow Tuesday, Thursday.
Wednesday.
It's so hot, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, no, it's already been that kind of week for me. Like, yesterday, like, I was convinced at one point that yesterday was Thursday, so it's been fucked up.
Yeah, this week has been a little special.
Yeah, it's been a weird week. Already.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
So I guess my question piggybacking off of the last guy's question a little bit. So I go to a lot of conventions throughout the year, where, like, anime conventions, video conventions, Comic-Con, stuff like that. And I was looking at the schedule for next year, and even in January, you have MAGFest, which is, like, one of the biggest video game conventions on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And PAX Texas, I think it is, are on the same day.
Yeah.
Or on the same weekend. So it's, like, this weird thing where it's, like, now we actually have to make a real hard decision about where we're going to spend our money. And I was wondering what Giant Bomb criteria for figuring out which of these things are going to go to, especially now that the year convention schedule is just getting so much more packed.
Yeah, I think for us it's a matter of, like, you know, what sort of I don't know. Like, we pretty much just go to PAX at this point. I mean, we go to E3 because that's, you know, obviously, like, the trade show, but we've just been going to the two PAXes, and I've, like, thought about, like, every year, I think, like, basically every year MAGFest happens, and that weekend I look at people at MAGFest and go, like, man, should we have gone to MAGFest? And then I forget about it, because there's no real awareness around it. Like, PAX has definitely become the big show in terms of, like, marketing dollars and that sort of stuff and all that. So, like, you know, our sales team can go out and say, like, hey, these guys put on a really big panel and you could sponsor the archive version of that panel, or, you know, like weird stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And because PAX is so established, that's something they can do. And they couldn't really, like, if they did it for another show, they'd have to get out there and try to convince people that show mattered, like people buying ads. And that doesn't really impact us that much. You know, we're subscriber focused, so we kind of want to go everywhere and do everything and all that. But realistically, you know, there's only so much we can do before it starts to really eat into kind of our day-to-day stuff. And yeah, so it's hard. Like, I would like to do more. I think it would be kind of cool to go to MAGFest. Like, this RTX thing, it sounds like, basically, like, I follow Dave Lang on Twitter, and since that guy will go anywhere that he can have a booth for a cheap amount of money, like, when he's, like, saying, like, oh, yeah, no, this was a fun show, like, then I go, like, oh, well, maybe I should just go, like, just on my own and check it out, and if they do panels, then maybe we could do something, but, you know, that's how I did PAX East. Like, the first time I went to PAX East, I went alone. And just to kind of check it out and see if it was going to, like, matter the same way regular PAX does. So, you know, maybe it's just a matter of getting out there and seeing more stuff. and seeing more of these conventions for myself. But I'd like to go to PAX South. I think that's an area of the country that I just haven't been to a lot, and it seems like we're getting a lot of questions from people asking if we're going to go there, so it seems like there's definitely, like, interest there already. And, you know, we already have a relationship with the guys that put that show together, the guys at Reed, the exhibitions company that do it. So it's like they know who we are, like, they know, like, more or less what our panel, like, consists of, like, what they're going to get when they approve our panel, like, what kind of nonsense we're going to bring them. So it's a really easy conversation, you know? And that just, you know, that kind of sways stuff in that direction. But I'd definitely like to do more stuff. It's just a matter of, but at some point, like, I'd like to kind of break away from some of those things and actually just, like, go to cities and put on shows.
Original content, stuff like that?
Yeah, like, not necessarily, like, a convention. Like, I don't want to get into the convention business, because I think there are already so many of those out there. But, like, I'd really like to be at a spot where, like, you know, we're doing, like, a college tour or something. It's something we've talked about off and on for years, and it seems like, you know, every year it gets a little more likely. You know, we had a conversation, like, 3 months ago where there was some company that wanted to sponsor something. Like, so here's how ad sales work. Like, basically, like, you know, like, our sales team will go, like, there's this company that wants to do something that's, like, different. Like, they don't want to do the same old shit, which is every company in the world. Like, no one wants to be seen as, like, oh, we just bought ads and did the same old boring shit. So if I can convince them to, like, sell this, like, client, this company or whatever, on sponsoring us going to weird parts of the country or weird parts of the world to put on shows, as long as the you know, the obligations don't include, like, us shilling for some dumb product, you know, as long as we can feel okay about the terms of the sponsorship, like, that's how that stuff will probably happen. And, you know, that just, it hasn't lined up yet.
Represent the work for
it. Basically, yeah. I mean, you know, like that sort of thing of just, like, you know, we're gonna go on the road for 2 weeks or something like that. And you know, like, for that to happen, though, like, it has to not be super disruptive to the website. So we need to get to a point where it's kind of why we hired people, or one of the reasons why we hired people is you know, we want to get to a point where, like, ideally we're out there on the road putting on these shows, live streaming these shows for everyone to see, and then also doing a ton of behind the scenes stuff that is, like, premium content or something like that, you know, where it's like, you know, hey, we're thing, and it's going to be fucking weird, you know? Like, that's the sort of stuff that I think would be kind of fun to do. It's just a weird thing. So, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I bet it'll eventually happen. And I bet the first time it happens, it'll probably be terrible, because you got to kind of, there's a bunch of logistical stuff that you just don't know when you do that stuff for the first time. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's stuff I'd like to do, but we're not there yet. And until then, you know, like, I'm happy to go to PAX and put on that show. Like, we fill up that room every time they give it to us, and, you know, it seems like people are enjoying themselves. So as long as those things are in place, like, I'm happy to continue doing it.
Dude, that sounds awesome. I would definitely go to all that stuff.
Yeah, cool. I wish that, yeah, like, that's the thing, is I wish, like, it's actually, I didn't know that MAGFest and PAX South were the same weekend, because I was actually thinking, like, maybe this will be the time I go to MAGFest.
Ever since they had the Yozu Kojira, the guy that did the Streets of Rage 2 soundtrack, when he came last year and did the DJ set, like, that's it. MAGFest took my money from that one. And it sounds like they're going to be trying to do something similar this year, so, cool. Like, that's where I'm going. But, I mean, like you said, like, it's not a business show. It's just a big fandom thing. Everybody's going up there to have a good time.
Yeah,
so I can see how it'd be a tough
sell. And that's like, that's what we're there to do. Like, we're, you know, like, I know they do panels and stuff at MAGFest, right? So, I mean, we're there to kind of to put on a show. Like, that's the only reason we go. Like, I don't go to PAX to, like, preview games. You know, like, we only go to PAX to put on our show. So, like, if there's a place for us to put on a show, like, I'll at least consider it. You know, as long as there's interest.
I'm sure they'd be glad to have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we'll have to we'll have to think about kind of as the time for those shows gets closer, I guess. But yeah, I mean, as far as industry goes, like the big problem that we're going to run into next year is that GDC in San Francisco overlaps directly with PAX East. So, companies that have to like go show stuff at GDC and go talk at GDC will then have to like immediately fly to Boston and start building a booth. You know, it's that's gonna like the logistics on that are weird. So, no one likes that. It's like everyone from game companies that like no one from game publishers that I talk to like the fact that PAX Prime is now 4 days. Because they lose an extra day. It used to be that they could pack up the booth on Monday and then be back at work on Tuesday. And now, like, all of a sudden, they have to be there all day Monday, so they lose Tuesday and then, you know, are traveling Wednesday. You know, like, so it's eating into schedules more than it used to, because you always had that Monday as a holiday, so it made a good travel day. And now, and no one likes the GDC PAX East overlap. Like, that's, I've heard tons of publishers, like small, you know, publishers that would still go to something like GDC, being really bummed out by that schedule. So that's the way it goes, though, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to become more and more common as time goes on and these things get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's just kind of the nature of it. And I think people will have to decide, like, what it means to build a booth at a show and how many people they actually need there, and should they just rent a crew to do it, and you know, like, how expensive does that get, and all that sort of stuff. But yeah. Cool, man.
All right, that was my question.
Yeah, all right, man. Well,
all right, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, have a good day. I'll talk to you later. All right, that's going to do it for calls, because now I'm in traffic, and it's all, you know, traffic-y. G-Unit track. I never thought that, like, G-Unit getting back together would be anything other than the worst, but this is okay. I mean, it's a low bar. I don't think G-Unit's very good. Generally speaking, Tony Yayo is a terrible rapper. Lloyd Banks is like skilled, but like kind of just subdued in a weird. I don't really like his style that much. I don't really have a beat. I don't really have anything to say about Young Buck one way or the other. This is all right. I guess the track kind of goes a long way on this one, though.
Snoop, you ever see me? I'm a vet, CD full of crack, easy with the grills, click clack. Somebody called and said the rap game needs.
They talk,
fuck it, they talked about G.
Still hate,
yeah, they hated on G.
The real way,
they talked about G. This one here is for all non-believers.
They talk,
fuck it, they talked about G.
Still hate,
yeah, they hated on G.
The real way.
I think the only other G-Unit track I'd say that I liked was that time they tried to like kind of remake Straight Outta Compton.
Somebody called and said the rap game needs.
They talk,
fuck it, they talked about G.
Still hate,
yeah, they hated on G.
The real way,
they talked about G. This one here is for all non-believers.
They talk,
fuck it, they talked about G.
Still hate,
yeah, they hated on G.
The real way,
you know they talked about G.
This is Eminem.
Naked men.
Oh.
Oh.
Or Shade 45.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. You better ring the alarm, boy. You know what's coming, boy.
His name is Snooty Wild. It's a good rap name. Snooty Wild.
There's lots to watch for. Warning. This is a hip hop nation first alert.
Hustle up, yes, let me up. Living in color, flow, the locking in my eyes.
Crystal Castles.
Okay, here go the house I'll be telling
you. That motherfucker right there.
They be tripping in there, but don't nobody live in there.
It's
real quiet.
Closing studio and the phone rings. Hi, Bob. This is Bernie Sohn. Nice to hear from you, Bernie. This guy I hadn't seen or heard from, I don't think, in 15 years. He doesn't stop talking. He says, I'm with the William Morris office. He said that with as much pride as if you were telling me you're Secretary of State. Good for you, Bernie. Jack Nicholson, you know, just came back in from the Cannes Film Festival. He's in town just for the day. What the fuck do I care? Who is he? He's the guy you saw the film on, I think, Bob. The part of Tad? I had been told by the coast you wanted to meet him. You mean the guy with the smile? Yeah, that's him. I look at my watch, it's 10:15. I got 2 hours. I have to be at the Gulf of Weston building for something a little more important than meeting an actor. Well, can you make it over here in the next 20 minutes? If you can't, well, forget it. We'll be right there. Didn't take 20 minutes. In 17 minutes, doorbell rings. In walks Bernie Sohn. Well, I look at this guy. He gained around 15 pounds since I saw him last. Next to him was the smile. Well, thanks, fellas, for getting here this quick. Come on in. I don't have that much time. I got to get over to the Gulf and Weston building. I couldn't get another word out of my mouth after that. It was Bernie in typical agent style, a diarrhea of the mouth, trying to tell me how brilliant this client was. The smile was losing his smile real quick. He didn't feel very comfortable. Hold it, Bernie. I want to speak to your client, not you. Do you mind? What's the last picture you did, kid? Imagine me calling someone kid. Pal, I just finished a flick. Could be a real winner. I wanted to hear the guy talk. He said, tell me about it. Been in the can for about a month. Something about it's, I don't know, sort of real interesting. Who's in it with you? The guy just smiles and looks at me. Hoppy. I'm thinking, is this guy nuts? Hoppy? Hoppy who? And he gives me a wink. Dennis. Dennis the Menace. Oh, I got it. Fine. The guy bursts out laughing. His smile goes from ear to ear. It'll turn you upside down, pal. Swear it will. Best motorcycle flick ever made. I look at him. Another fucking actor. Take some advice from a guy who's been around a little longer than you. Forget it, kid. You've been over a motorcycle. Do something different. Don't be on a motorcycle all your life. Wait till you see it, pal. And the Irish smile lights up again. What's the name of the flick? I didn't even want to hear it. Call it an easy rider. Gonna knock them on their ass. I didn't even hear what he was saying. I'm just mesmerized by this guy's smile. And the broader smile, his fucking eyebrow goes orange. I didn't even know if this kid could act. I'm sure in hell it wasn't original. On a Friday night, Nicholson and I were lying on my bed watching the closed circuit Hagler-Lennon fight.
Sometimes just get a little wisdom. Oh, the way I have these playlists set up, I think that whole audiobook's gonna disappear off my phone in a couple of days. Which is good. Anything I add to the library goes in for like 45 days automatically, so it's like.
Months later, for the third time of the year.
There's so many tracks, it's just so much of it. It's like five CDs.
Blue Side Park, man.
Not that the music's any better. Fuck, man. Some good stuff on here that I just am tired of or just don't want to listen to that much anymore. It's just, yeah, it's
Donkey Kong. In the game Donkey Kong, there are different levels and four different...
I know about Donkey Kong. Don't want to talk about Donkey Kong.
Fuck. life.
I'm a nigga, he's a nigga, she's a nigga, we some niggas, wouldn't you like to be a nigga too?
WFMU, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Barry Dworkin.
Hey, how are you, Barry?
Well, I'm a little PO'd. Why haven't you read my emails over the air?
You are a wuss, you start to the max. You are a wuss, you start in the mix. You are a wuss, you start from Denver, Colorado. I like you and bottle of Puri and Ketchow. Chuck! Hazelwood, Chuck. You are a wuss who's done in Jesus' name. You are a wuss who's done in Jesus Christ. You played Bill Buck in the movie the other day in the day. You are a great wuss who's done in God's church world.
Okay.
Chuck, Hazelwood, Chuck.
I'm here, so take that with you for the rest of the day, I guess. I'll see you guys later. Have a good Wednesday.